I hope you all had a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And we have so much to be thankful for, and that's something that I want to share and talk about this morning. I've been excited for this weekend just for the theme of magnify and making God known, but also excited for this morning and being able to share with you what the Lord's put on my heart. So if you would just join me here for a moment, I'd like to pray for our time in the Word. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence, Lord, to worship you and to hear from your Word. And God, I just pray that what is spoken here this morning are your words, and that you would just touch our hearts, Lord, and speak to us truth. And so we just commit this time to you, God. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit and your blessing upon our time as we seek you this morning in your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our text is going to be in Matthew chapter 5, so if you want to turn there, I'll give you just a second to get there. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 13 through 16. And hopefully you're there. Let me start this morning by just asking you a question. What do you think of when I say the word, or when you hear the word magnify? Do any of the images that are hopefully behind me here come to your mind? Probably the obvious one would be a magnifying glass. You know, the thing to just come immediately when you think about magnify would be something like that. Maybe a telescope, if you're a stargazer, something that you can, you know, look at the heavens and draw things closer. Maybe a pair of binoculars for your nosebleed seats at the football game. And speaking of football, I just wanted to clear up something here that my pastor's been saying for a long time. How many people know me here? Quite a few. Would you testify that I'm a Christian? Yes? Because I am a Raider fan. And a Christian, Rob. Just want people to know that. It can be done. And maybe a microscope, something very, very small for you to be able to look at. And I was thinking about an image I ended up putting in the microscope because I didn't want to freak anybody out. But many of you are old enough to remember that ride at Disneyland when you come to the end. Remember the eye was just looking down at you. I found that image, actually. I didn't put it up there, but I was thinking about it. But all of these things are designed to make something look bigger or closer, to improve your vision of something that's small or that's far away. And that is, to me, the obvious application here for this text, and it's been taught many times. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. This morning, I want to approach this from a little bit different perspective, and I don't have any argument against all the things about making it larger and bigger, but I want to ask another question. When I said magnify, would you have thought of images like this that come up? Maybe not. Probably were thinking of the things that I showed you originally here. And today I want to talk about this type of an image and making the Lord look bigger, I'm sorry, better, and not just bigger, to make him look better, not just bigger. And that's the title of the message, and I'll explain more as we go this morning. But this is the image that I want you to have sort of stick in your mind from the message this morning. And I think it's because some people may have an image of God, some people that are outside the church, that looks more like the tarnished plate. And our role is to help mankind see God like the highly polished plate. And so we want to help mankind see God better, not just bigger. And so let's take a look at our text here in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And we're going to talk about good works and glorifying our Father in heaven this morning, and I want to associate that verse with the pictures that you're seeing up here. And just as a summary this morning, what I hope that you take away from the message, this scripture inspires us to be salt and light to the world. And it really means that we're to do good works and to glorify or magnify, I'll explain that in a little bit later here, our Father in heaven. And since it's Thanksgiving, I thought it would be good to sort of think of this basic thought that Thanksgiving really just means nothing more than giving thanks. And in order to do that, we need to consider first what we've been given. I want to talk about that. And then consider how we can give back how we can do these good works, and then a thought around doing good works, and that is that we don't do so out of obligation. We do so out of a response of love of what God has given to us. And so it's our thankfulness that should move us to good works. And in doing so, then, we make our Father known, and we make him look better, not just bigger, to an unbelieving world. And if you take that away this morning, then you'll have a clear context or crux of the message here this morning. So with that, I'd like to dive in here and start with my first big point here, and that is the giving of thanks. And where I started this morning here to say I want to talk a little bit about so much that we have to be thankful for. And I'm going to come back to our text here, but before I do, I just want to talk for a few minutes about being thankful and what I think is foundational, really, to what we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 5. So I want to start by looking at two words that I think apply to Thanksgiving. And the first word is to be thankful. And to be thankful is to be conscious of the benefits that you receive. That's what it means to be thankful, just to be conscious and aware of what you've received. And then the second word is grateful, and that's to be appreciative of what benefits you have received. And so our giving of thanks is based on our consciousness or our awareness of, and also our appreciation or our gratitude for what we've received. And our context this morning is really what we receive from the Lord. We've received a lot of earthly blessings, but also we've received a lot of spiritual blessings. And I can't speak on your behalf this morning, but I certainly can speak on my own behalf, and that's what I want to do just briefly here and share with you some thoughts about what I'm thankful for. And I think some of what I'm going to share, I think we'll have in common. Maybe some of it we won't. But I'll ask you this. How often does a person get to have a second chance in life, if you think about that? Not very often. But I can say it's reflected in my life. And two examples that I want to share this morning that will glorify or magnify God. One is spiritual and one physical. And I want to start with the spiritual first and talk to you about forgiveness. And one of my favorite verses when it comes to recognizing how God has pardoned me of my transgressions is in Luke 7:47. And I know the scripture will be up on the screen. In fact, all the scriptures I'm sharing this morning will be up there. But Luke 7:47 says, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And I love this verse because I am very thankful for, and I love the Lord much because I've been forgiven much. And I recognize the extent of my wrongdoings in life. And I recognize God's mercy and God's grace towards me throughout this life. And that translates, quite frankly, just to the extent of the love that I have for Jesus. I love Jesus much because he's forgiven me much in life. You know, because of that, I've been reconciled to God, and those of you that are in the same place have been reconciled to God. And we've been given the hope and the confidence of eternal life in Jesus Christ, all because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And that's so special and so important to me. And sometimes people give testimony and details of what the Lord has done for them, the things that they've done and what he's forgiven them for. I'm not going to do that this morning, and I'm going to not do that for two reasons. Number one, I don't have enough time to share with you all the things that the Lord has forgiven me for, nor would I ever want to glorify my past. But perhaps a more important and second reason is my mom sitting right over here. And some things mom needs to know, but some things mom just doesn't need to know. And I don't think this would be the good forum to share that. So I'm not going to. But in all seriousness, Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And I've been given a second chance at life, eternally. And I shared that first because I think it's more important than the physical. But the first life was lost through sin. And the second life was gained through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And boy, have we gained much. And so I believe for most of us, we do have that in common, that we've been forgiven much as it relates to a reason to be thankful this morning and this weekend. But if not, if that doesn't represent you, I want to encourage you this morning, if you've not been forgiven, that you can be. And all you need to do is start by acknowledging your sin. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And we need to acknowledge Jesus as the one who paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary. and recognize and acknowledge his resurrection, because the death alone isn't enough, right? The resurrection is so important is because he lives, we too can live eternally. And we need to just acknowledge that we need him and ask him to forgive us and ask him to come into our lives and be our Lord and Savior. And if that's you this morning, before you leave, at the end of the service, there's going to be some people up front. Come down and talk to them and let them know that's you. And I know they'd love to pray for you. But don't leave here without being forgiven. The second example that I want to share is a physical one. And that's that I had a kidney transplant. And I saw a lot of people raise their hand that know me. And some of you, I think many of you know my story. But how many people have been at Calvary Vista here less than 7 years? A fair number. So a lot of you know my story, and some of you don't know my story then. But and I've shared it before, and I'm not going to go into the details this morning. But I will testify again this morning to the goodness of God in my life and what he's done for me. Less than a month from today, it'll be Christmas Day actually, the December 25th, will be 7.5 years since I had a kidney transplant. And I'm blessed to know and to share with you this morning and thankful for the healing power of God. And I love the verse that we're going to put up on the screen here, Matthew 4:23. It says, "Now Jesus went about in Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases from among the people." And this is special to me because he's still in the business of doing that today, and he's done it for me. And Exodus 15:26 says, "For I am the Lord God that heals you." He is Jehovah Rapha, known as the Lord God who heals. He healed me, and he healed me of a disease and a sickness. Maybe you have one. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you just have some need this morning of the Lord for healing. And if that's you, I want to encourage you also at the end of the service, come up front and get prayer and allow the Lord to do that healing. But I've been given a second chance in life on this earth. My first life was deteriorating because of kidney disease. And my second life that I'm in right now was restored because of the sacrifice of my sister. And I'm very thankful for her and what she's done for me. And also, and most importantly, to the healing hand of the Lord upon me. So to be thankful for what God has given to me equates to a second chance at life, spiritually and physically. And if these examples weren't enough, and I think forgiveness alone is probably enough to be thankful, I could spend the rest of our time this morning sharing with you how thankful I am for what the Lord's done for me. But we need to keep moving. But I would say just quickly a few of the things at a high level that the Lord has done. He's given me a wonderful and godly wife who I'm very grateful for. A wonderful family. Two adult sons who I love dearly. This body at Calvary Chapel Vista and the friends and the family that I have here. God's providence in my life, just his timing and the things that he's chosen to do and the things he's chosen not to do. His provision along the way, opportunities to serve in ministry, the list goes on and on. Maybe some of the things I've shared, you know, would touch and be, we'd have in common too. We have a lot to be thankful for. And as a result of that, my point in all of this is that it all starts with recognition. It all starts with that consciousness, right, and the gratitude and appreciation for what God has done for us. And that's the reason that we should be moved to do good works. That's the reason we should be moved to do what Matthew 5 tells us to, and that is to do such good works that we would glorify or magnify the Lord, make him look better, not just bigger. Which takes us back then to Matthew 5. I want to talk a little bit about magnifying the Lord. In verse 16 specifically, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And I said earlier I would explain glorify and magnify and how they go together. And that's this, that the word glorify here in the Greek is the word doxazo. And it means to magnify, to make glorious, to clothe with splendor, or adorn with luster. And so you might take a look again at that image. Adorning with luster is the picture that the Lord impressed upon my heart to share this morning. It's really the key to the message here this morning. But these pictures of these pieces of silver sort of remind me, it recalls a memory for me of being a child. And I know my mom would remember this, but I can remember the days when the silver had to come out of the buffet and get polished. all the stuff out on the dining room table. It seemed like an all-day event, quite frankly. A lot of elbow grease and a lot of effort. But pieces of silver were turned from looking tarnished like this to polished like that. And a transformation occurred. And that's the picture on my heart. That's the picture I think that the Lord wants us to take away, is that for some people in the world, the image of God, perhaps unfairly, looks tarnished through hurts, through disappointments, through anger, through all kinds of circumstances of life. Their picture of God isn't bright and polished like ours is. It looks like the ones on the left, on your left. And our opportunity in doing good works is a means to adorn God with luster, to make him shine, and to make him attractive to this unbelieving world and draw them to Jesus. And so to be able to create transformation in the Lord, in the image of the eyes of the ones who's looking at him. And that's our opportunity. So to tie this idea then of magnifying the Lord to the idea I just shared about being thankful, I would suggest that our good works here that we're called to do in Matthew 5 are direct related to the extent of consciousness and awareness and appreciation that we have for what God has done for us. Our thankfulness equates to what we want to do to magnify the Lord. And so our good works become an active way of just giving thanks, not because we're obligated to do so, but because we want to do so. And perhaps this morning, this is what I want to get across, is a fresher or a new perspective of looking at Thanksgiving. Not just a one-day holiday and an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord, although it is a time to reflect and be grateful for what God has done for us. But more importantly, to have an active lifestyle of doing good works, 24/7, 365 days a year, to live thankfulness and equate that to good works so that we have a means of giving thanks to God, and in doing so, a means to making him look better, not just bigger to the world. And so all that sounds good probably in principle and in concept, but how do we do it practically? And so I'd like to share the rest of the time here just talking about what that might look like and share a few examples of good works that would glorify or magnify our Father in heaven. So if we go back here to good works, we'll start with a couple of key points from our text in verses 13 and 14 specifically and talk about salt and light. In verse 13, it says that you are the salt of the earth. And you've heard a lot of teachings on salt. I know this passage has been taught a lot. And you know that salt serves many purposes, right? It's a seasoning, so it enhances flavor. It makes things better. Salt doesn't make things bigger. It makes it better. It's a preservative. We know that, too. It creates thirst. You can even throw it on the ground in icy conditions. It can create stability for cars to drive on or for you to walk on. But the point I want to impart here in the application is that salt is one of the most common compounds found in nature. There's nothing special about it, and it's readily available. And that makes us salt, the salt of the earth. It tells me that anyone can do it. Anyone can be the salt of the earth, you and me, because it's very common. You see, good works, oftentimes we can equate to, that's a job for the professionals. That's a job for the church, not for us common folk. But quite frankly, good works are a calling to us common folks. We all have something to be thankful for. Start with your salvation. And that alone can move us to good works to glorify God and make him look better and not just bigger. But verse 14 also says that you are the light of the world. What is light? Light is really only the absence of darkness. That's what light is. It's the absence of darkness. It creates brightness. It makes things visible, makes it easier to see, makes something look better. An example, and I'm sure none of you have ever done this. I know I do, and I know my wife does once in a while. You ever pulled out your phone, turned on the little light when you're at a restaurant because you got to look at the menu? It's a little too dark, right? Just makes it look better, right? Put some visibility to it. But another example and illustration that I want to share with you is one personal to me that I've carried for a long time around this passage, is that I travel a lot for my work. And I've spent a lot of Friday nights coming home late from the East Coast, having these cross-country flights. And I'm 6'4", so I usually like an aisle seat, so I have a little bit more space for my legs. But every once in a while, I'll take a window seat, especially on a Friday night after I've had a long week, because I'm probably going to sleep. I am one of those people that can sleep on a plane. But I don't always. And I can think of the times that I've been across the Great Plains or over the Rocky Mountains, and it's just pitch black, just a sea of darkness. And then you see a little community, or even just a couple of houses, you know, sort of smattered. You're 7 miles up, probably, and it's pitch black, and yet you can see just a couple of little houses. And you know why you can see them? Light. You see that light in the sea of darkness. And for us, the world that we're living in around us is equated with darkness, right? And we, as believers, have an opportunity to shine. And I want to anchor that thought in your mind here that I'm going to share with you here. And this is really important because we see the world getting darker and we can get discouraged, but I want to encourage you this morning. When light, this is the thought, when light is put up against darkness, you ready for that? Light always wins. Just pause and think about that. I want to repeat it. When light goes against darkness and is applied against darkness, light always wins. You flip on a light in a dark room and light wins. It's no longer dark. So the world we're living in, when we shine, it matters. It always wins. We cannot stop shining. We are light, and the Bible says, you are the light of the world. That includes me. And our good works, then, are born out of this thankfulness, and it's our opportunity, then, to shine and magnify our Father in heaven. Make him look better, not just bigger. Now, before we close, I just want to share a few practical ways, some more specific or granular examples of what that looks like day in and day out. Examples of good works, earthly ways of giving thanks to the Lord, and earthly ways of being salt and light in response to what God has done for us. And the first thing I want to talk about is devotion, our devotional life. We all know the importance of cultivating our relationship with Jesus. The most important thing that we can do is cultivate our relationship with the Lord. Acts 13:2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, and there's more to that verse, but that's what I want to key in on. This is our number one ministry, right? We have a lot of ministries in life, but our number one ministry, and you've heard this before, is our ministry to the Lord. Everything else about our life, everything else we're going to do, all the good works that I'm talking about, they flow out of that. They're a natural byproduct, right? They're a result of the quality of that relationship. And it's developed through a time in prayer. And it's developed in a time of just being in God's Word. And so it's so important for us to be people of the Word and people of prayer. And I know you've heard this over and over again, but I think it's so important and so foundational that, and it's what the Lord impressed upon my heart to share this morning, that we need to cultivate our relationship with the Lord. And it comes out of our devotion to him. This is a way that we can be salt and life, and I'll explain this in a minute. Secondly, Psalm 92:1 says, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High. So when it comes to devotion, praise and worship are also a means of giving thanks from our hearts and from our lips to praise the Lord. Another example of devotion. And on this one, I need to ask your permission, seriously, to share my heart on something and be real with you that the Lord put on my heart to share here this morning. And it's not to condemn. Maybe it'll convict, and I might step on a few toes in the process, and I don't mean to, but I got to be honest, I have to share what the Lord put on my heart. And it's around our time of worship as a church, as a congregation. And our time of worship is a very special part of our church service. And this is what the Lord asked me to say to you. Can we please make a commitment to be on time? I've been at Calvary Vista 21 plus years, and this is not a new thing. And the last 14 months, my wife and I have been over at the Shadow Ridge campus. And the Lord impressed upon me during this time here of prepping that during the church, the beginning of the church over at Shadow Ridge is like a church plant. It really is. We've been sort of cultivating and planting a new church over there. And so visitors are seeking our church as a home and probably asking the question when they come as a newbie, is this where I want to call home? Is this the church they want to call? In a way, they're interviewing us, right, to see what we're all about. And the question that I would ask ourselves is, what impression do we make on them when we're not on time for worship? Are we making the Father look better in the process? And I'm not saying that because I've been at Shadow Ridge for 14 months, we've got a big problem over at Shadow Ridge, but not over here. I don't even want to say it's a big problem. It's just an observation. And it's something I think that the Lord, it's an exhortation, I think, from the Lord this morning. It applies to Calvary Vista. And I'm not judging in any way, shape, or form. I'm not doing that. But I am sharing what the Lord impressed on my heart to share. And I hope that you receive it accordingly. Fair enough? Something that we need to pray about as part of our devotion to the Lord and making him look better, not just bigger in the process. So as a practical example of good works, I started with these two, and you might think it seems odd. How do we make him known, and how do we make him look better through devotion and worship? But I think this is an important point. And to do it in our hearts and to do it in our lives first, we're not going to be effective in reaching men until we first have gotten ourselves in a right place and cultivated our relationship with the Lord. And so to be more effective in doing those works before men, we need to start with us first. So devotion is the first thing. The second thing that I wanted to talk about this morning, practically speaking, is around giving. And I can't help but think with thanksgiving that this point comes across, the emphasis on thanksgiving or the giving of thanks and opportunities to impact other people. And the first one comes from Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. And I am speaking here about tithes and offerings, and this is not a message about tithes and offerings. So I'm not going to put a lot of emphasis on this. And I do want to note, every time I've ever talked about this, is God doesn't need our money. So that is the least of the point here, is about, you know, how much money that we can give. But when we do give, I think the important part about it, what happens in our heart, is we have the right attitude developed and we get reminded of what is really ours, which is nothing, right? It's all his, and it keeps that right perspective for us along the way. But more importantly, our giving to the local church and even missionaries, it helps promote the work of the local church and missions all over the world. It helps mankind see the greatest gift of all, right? The gift of Jesus Christ and his salvation. And when we give like that, we are giving to the church and to missions, or however we choose to do that, in such a way to a world that we might not even see. And what a blessing that is. When you think about what we do with what God has provided for us, you know, someday someone's going to tap us on the shoulder in heaven and say, hey, I just want to say thanks. It was because you did this. We don't even know the extent of people that are being saved right here in our midst, at the midst of Calvary, by our giving. And so I think that one of the ways that we can make God known and make him look better, not just bigger, is through our giving, through our tithes and offerings. But secondly, and I think the more important and practical way that this happens for us, it comes from 1 John 3:17. It says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And so I think back to the comments around salt and the common folk that I mentioned. Meeting the needs of others is not a job just for the church. We, you and I, are the church. And it is no accident that most of the time these things that come our way, these opportunities that are presented to us, they're because I think God wants us to be part of the practical solution here. He's not saying, hey, call the church because it's something they need to do. Perhaps he's putting it before us because he's saying, right now, in this moment, I want you to make me look better to these people, not just bigger. These people have real needs, and I want you to meet them. And they're all around us, right? We can look at our sphere of influence, our friends, and our families, and might be perfect strangers that come across our path. There's all kinds of charities around. Homelessness is a big problem here in North County. I have a real heart for homeless. We have Solutions for Change right across the street here. There's lots of ways in which we can meet the needs of others to see someone in need. But when we have the ability to meet the need and it's put right before us, I think it's God's way of saying, hey, would you help me out here? I don't need you to help me out. I don't need your money. I'm not going to condemn you if you don't. But here's an opportunity to put some luster on me to somebody who's in need. And I think that's another way that practically we can do that. So I want to sort of wrap up here pretty soon. We've looked at a few ways of what good works look like. And it starts with us, that thought of devotion. And then it moves to others. We're called to be salt and we're called to be light and to do good works. And these couple of big themes that I shared at the end here, devotion and giving, I think, and so much more, quite frankly. We have time on our hands. We have the ability to serve the Lord. We have gifts and we have abilities. And I know that the other guys are sharing from a different perspective, so hopefully you'll get some of that. That wasn't what the Lord put on my heart to share here today. But hopefully you'll hear those different perspectives and look at ways in which we can do that. But in recapping this, my point in all of it is it's a result of that right relationship with the Lord and having a thankful heart. And when we have a thankful heart, then we can put feet to our faith. And what we end up with is a person who's doing good works, and it's more than in principle. It's more than a concept to us. It speaks directly to active faith. And active faith is something that we've been studying, right, here the last several months here as we've been looking at James, is putting faith to our feet and doing something with that. And this is our opportunity to do so. So as I close here this morning, I think that you've heard enough times about the message, but there's two words that came out of this weekend, and at least from the theme and from my message. One is magnify, right? To make God look big or to make him look better. And for me, my message is better. So if you walked away this morning and all you remembered was magnify and better, that's what I want you to absorb. And think of that picture, that image of the tarnished material becoming highly polished. Thanksgiving, you know, what we've spent this last two or three or four days with our family and maybe spending some time reflecting and just showing and giving thanks for what God has done for us is a great thing. I don't want to mislead and say, hey, you know what, don't think about it that way. It is a very important time to stop and reflect. But I think more importantly, a few thoughts to close here. Every day should be marked by giving of thanks. And I know we say thanks to the Lord probably in our prayers and all of that, but to really have a thought around every day giving thanks to the Lord for what he has done. And the second point I'd say is let it begin with us first. It can be seen in our devotion to the Lord. And yes, nobody sees your devotional life, but it can be seen in your devotion to the Lord. You hear me on that? What you do publicly is a reflection of what you do privately. So it can be seen in your devotion. And without that, I think we have a hard time really translating that into good works for the Lord. We can translate into good works, but are we really doing it for the Lord at that point? When we have a right devotional life and we're thankful, then we're moved to do the things for the Lord because we want to, because we love him, and it's a response, not because I'm required to or I'm obligated to do that. So every day should be marked by giving a thanks. Let it begin with us first, and then let it translate to good works before men. Be salt and light, and that can be seen in your giving to others, however you choose to give. And I'm not here to pound people on giving. I'm just putting it out there to say this is a way in which we can utilize what God has given to us and give back to him and allow him to be made to look better. When we do all these things, then the result is that our Father in heaven is glorified, or better said, our Father in heaven is magnified. And as Christians and as a church, I want to say, let's adorn him with luster. Let's put a shine on him. What an opportunity that we have as believers to a world who needs him so desperately. We can make our Father look better, not just bigger. And we can make him attractive so that others would be drawn to him. That's the whole purpose of why we would do good works, right? To make our Father look good and others would see him. They don't see us, they see him. And then they're drawn to him and they want to say yes to him and be part of his family. That's what it's all about. Amen? So let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you again for just how much you have given to us. Lord, there isn't enough time, enough things to say, Lord, about the great love, the mercy, the kindness, the long-suffering, Lord, your forgiveness, salvation, your Son. Lord, we have everything in you, and we just want to say thank you for that this morning. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that just the recognition of that, the awareness of it, and our appreciation for it would move us to do the good works that, you've spelled out here in Matthew 5, Lord, and that we would do them not for ourselves, Lord, but that we would do them so that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified, that men would see these things and that they would be drawn to you, Lord, that they would give you glory for who you are. And so I just ask for a filling of your Spirit upon my brothers and sisters here to go out and do that, Lord, and be effective and be salt and light before men in this world, Lord, so that you would be made to adorn with luster, Lord, that you would have shine on you like no one would ever recognize, Lord, the normal lifestyle that we live. It would be different, and people would see it, and in a process would see you, Lord. So we just thank you for that and commit the rest of our day to you, Lord. We just thank you for this Sunday and an opportunity to a day of worship for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.